Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
And this is the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We're so excited about what God is doing. We know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are ready to go forward and rejoice and do all that we can to give him the glory. Listen, before we get started really well, let me go ahead and turn it over to Prophetess Crystal so she can give us our prayer and lead us in our announcements, and we're getting into this word. Prophetess?
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. In the way of announcements on today, I want to let you know every Tuesday at 7 p.m., every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., and every Thursday, amen, at 7 p.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself, amen, for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast and Prophetic Atmosphere. And on Thursdays, Prophetic Atmosphere begins at 7 p.m., just to reiterate. But I do want to let you know, you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. We invite you there to take some time to learn more about us as a ministry and us as individual. Amen. And even pray about becoming a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, pushing us, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Also, people of God, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny have a Facebook page. I invite you there. Like us there on our Facebook pages. Leave your prayer requests, your praise reports. Let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like Apostle McQueen or myself to minister at any one of your programs, go to our webpage, www.ctkr.org. Amen. Go to our contact page and leave as much detailed information as you can, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Just want to give a quick shout out to everyone once again that has supported us with my Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. It was powerful. It was life-changing. People of God, listen, my husband is already working on the videos. You're going to see some snippets coming through real soon. Amen. Check us out on YouTube. Amen. You're going to see some powerful messages being brought forth by our first speaker of that night was First Lady Fabia Saunders from Sabrine, Florida. What a powerful word. Saturday morning was Overseer Mother Willie Mae Butts from Daytona Beach, Florida, who was dropping pearls of wisdom on us for that day. Amen. And then yours truly was for that night. The topic was Don't Abort Your Assignment. Listen, God moved powerfully in that place. People were revived, renewed, assignments were reestablished. Amen. Lives were realigned. Amen. In the kingdom, people were saved, delivered, and set free. I want you to keep posted because as the Lord has laid upon my heart, people of God, we are going to be doing WOPD on a monthly basis every third weekend. So get prepared for that. There's more information coming real soon. Amen. Amen. Those are the announcements for today. Come on and let us pray as we prepare for the word of the Lord. Father, right now in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for this day that you have brought us through. God, thank you for your strength, your love, your power, your understanding. God, thank you for your revelation. God, thank you for your hand of mercy and grace being upon our lives. Hallelujah. God, thank you for your favor that you have bestowed upon us. God, thank you for your protection that is encamped about us. God, we thank you for your word of life that you're about to give us. Father, we just bless your holy name. You're worthy of all the praise. You're worthy of all the glory. You are the great I am. You are Elohim. You are El Shaddai. You are the lily of the valley. You are the bright and morning star. You are the Lord of the heavenly. My God, we thank you now. We glorify you. We bless your name, Lord. Even now as your people come, we ask as we just begin to sup at your table, we ask right now for forgiveness. Wash us from this day, God. Wash us from this week. Father, cleanse us from all unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus shall prevail. The blood of Jesus over our minds. The blood of Jesus over our thoughts. The blood of Jesus over our spirits. God, the blood of Jesus over our bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus in our homes. The blood of Jesus on our jobs, God. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. Make every crooked way straight in our lives today. Hey, God, we thank you. We surrender our will. We surrender our hearts to you today. Oh, Father, we thank you because we will say yes once again to your purpose, your way in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we say yes, God, to whatever you want us to do. We lay aside every weight that is easily besetting us and sin. God, we lay it aside this day. Father, open up your word. As the man of God brings the word, ignite it and set it on fire in the ears of your people that are hearing on today. In Jesus' name, set our souls on fire, God. Cause our babies, our spiritual babies, to leap. Father, we ask every crooked way, every stone, every crack, every crevice, God, that is not that's unhealed, every broken place, every wounded space, plead the blood of Jesus over it, God. Put your word in it right now in Jesus' name. Father, make everything smooth. The balm of Gilead, we call upon you today in Jesus' name. Father, we ask for healing. Healing in our souls, healing in our spirits, healing in our bodies, God. Healing in our minds, Father. Bring peace to that one who has had a hard time sleeping, God, who's been up all night, God, and even those who have been up and just have trouble sleeping, bring peace to them. You said the peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall guard their heart and mind. God, we ask that you would bring peace to that person right now in the name of Jesus. Let them sleep like they've never slept before. Put your angels around them and camp about them in the name of Jesus. The peace of God, we speak it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now for the finances and the breakthrough that you are bringing in the lives of your kingdom people. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you in everything and all that you're doing in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Dynamic prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, God is doing some things in our lives. God is doing some things in this ministry. And I just want to encourage you all to go to our website again, www.ctkr.org. You know, we offer you an opportunity to sow into the ministry here, into the soil that is here, the kingdom of God. We're not begging and trying to put forth all kind of sales pitches. We just want you to know that we're doing some things for the kingdom of God and expanding the kingdom and developing its citizens, and we want you to be a part of that. Go there, learn more about us, and become a vision partner with us. We just looked at another location, and God is blessing us with favor. Amen. Yes. And as we go into it, we'll need to do some things once we get there. But, thank God for favor to get there. It is another location that we can go into to share this kingdom, the principles of the kingdom lifestyle, the Savior. Amen. You bring glory to the Father. Amen. And I'm excited about our ability to get in and do that. Amen. And we want you to be a part of that. Come in, get in on this lesson. Amen.
Yes,
of doing the work of God and reaping a harvest from seed sown into good soil. Mm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, let's go back to Nehemiah, where we were. Nehemiah 2. We really started dealing with the 18th verse on last Saturday, and I just want to close this part out. And it's really fitting, isn't it, Prophetess, that this is what we're preaching and mm-hmm. what we're teaching on, and to see what God is doing in our lives now.
Yes,
amen.
Thank you.
It is definitely a timely word. And thank God that he put it on your heart and your mind to begin to minister this, that woman of prophetic destiny. We will be putting up and posting on our Facebook and website different excerpts from the conference. And I tell you, God moved mightily. The word that came forth, wow. You definitely want to get a copy of that, and we're going to offer it to you. If you want it, let us know. Amen. And we'll see what we can do to get the CDs to you or the DVDs, and you can benefit from this word.
Amen.
As we've been dealing with this Nehemiah 2, in 18, we went back into the 17th verse, and we dealt with the fact that Nehemiah, as he was dealing with rallying the people, reminded them and told them, see the distress that we are in, amen, and how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come let us build the wall of Jerusalem. Amen. Mm-hmm. That we may no longer be a reproach. We may. And notice in all of this, and I said this before, you have to understand that in leadership and in ministry, sometimes we're doing things and people look and think that we don't take ownership of the vision. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We say, listen, we got to pay and we got to get this together and we need to come and do this, that, and other. And people are looking saying, well, you talking to us, but what are you doing? Well, listen, before we talk to you, we already looked at what we had to do or what we could do. And that's what we went with, amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we know what God is saying. We know what God is doing and what God is trying to get us to do, amen?
Amen.
It is in these moments that I read Nehemiah, I am encouraged, because even though he knew better, had came from better, he didn't set himself aside to be better. He
mm-hmm.
said, let us look at what we're doing. We are a reproach. Let us rise up. Let us build. Amen. And as he began to say that, he began to tell them, I told them, 18th verse, of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me. In other words, God has given me favor.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you something about favor. Favor is the thing that you move with when God gives you an assignment and you can't see the resource yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You move in favor. Favor is what opens up doors that your bank account won't even allow you to look at.
Thanks.
Your credit rating isn't at a level where you can even talk to anybody that will even listen to what you're saying. But yet and still, favor will give you a voice in the ear of the banker. The favor will allow you to get something, to have something, not because you deserve it, but because God said it's so. So when God says it's so, the next thing you see is that favor begins to open up door. Favor begins to manipulate situations.
Yes,
favor begins to present opportunities that you as a child of God can go in with the wisdom of God leading you and capitalize upon what's happening there. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're hoping somebody says something for you. You're hoping something works out. You're hoping something goes your way. And God said at this time, this season, this place in your life, you don't have to work. You don't have to walk after a maybe. You can walk in favor.
Yes.
Amen. We're witnesses that favor works. All of our ministry, we can tell you that favor works when nothing else worked. Favor worked. Amen. I tell you what, right now, if I didn't have favor in my life, I wouldn't be speaking to you now. Amen? Huh? God has sustained us and has elevated us and moved us forward in the things that he has because he has placed favor over our life. And let me give you number two with this favor. Number two is with favor, there is a grace that is set upon your life. Amen?
Amen.
The problem that some people have is that some people like them and they mistake charisma for favor. Just because you can pull a crowd don't mean the crowd will do anything for you. Amen.
Yes.
I heard someone speaking earlier about spectacles, talking about the fact that the artist Chris Brown was in trouble again. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Huh? And they said that, you know, the thing is that the people talking to him and the people around him are used to being in the limelight. So even if I have to create for myself a spectacle, which I already am, you know, by definition, I can't last long.
Right.
Which means that when you are going off of charisma and you're trying to become a spectacle and you're trying to move with the hype, then you have to understand that smoke is only for a minute, man, but fire lasts a while. Amen? So every once in a while, you have to remind yourself that it's not the spectacle, it's not the smoke, it's not any of that stuff. Favor is what comes upon you, and grace is what sustains you. Grace is what allows me to walk in the office of apostle.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't put together words good enough to create a miracle or to walk in miracle signs and wonders and demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. I don't have enough charisma for that. But the grace upon my life allows me to pick up serpents and shake them off in the fire. You understand? The grace upon my life allows me to take someone by the hand and lift them up. Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I unto you. The glory don't go to me for lifting that person up and putting strength in their knees and in their ankles. The glory goes to God. You see that? So when you're walking in grace, then you understand that it's not your ability, it's his ability. Amen? That you walk in. Amen. He put this upon you. He gave you the grace to walk in. It's his favor that precedes you. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to understand that this isn't anything that has to do with us. It's everything that has to do with him and the assignment that he's giving us. Amen?
Amen?
So when we start dealing with this, we can't have this separatist and this superiority complex where we're so great and that's you and yours. We have to understand that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we would be less than the people sometimes we look down upon.
That's very true.
Amen. He says here, he says, we were a reproach. Let us build the walls. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You see how much of a distress we are in. Not y'all in some dire straits, man. I don't know what to tell you. No. He said, you see what distress we are in. So when you are in this together, then that means that when I come out, you coming out too.
Amen.
Lord, I wish I could preach this right here. See, what we do in the kingdom is not done for any one person or one thing. It is done so that the kingdom of God can be pushed. It can be established. It can be expanded. Amen. We are the demonstration of the power of God in the earth. And as we look at what we need and what we have to do, we have to be realistic. Amen. That there are some things that we're going to have to invest in. I have a young man that I mentor and I pour into him. And my wife would tell you every once in a while, he'll look at something and he'll say, hey, I was thinking about doing X, Y, and Z. What do you think? And I'll say, no, you don't want to do that because you haven't set the foundation for that. But you probably should look over here. And he says, well, they want this. I said, you were, let me give you a total so you understand. They want $400. I said, well, you were about to buy a $3,500 piece of equipment. You don't need that $3,500 piece of equipment. Invest in the $400. And he said, you know, but I won't be able to afford the $35. I said, once you invest in the $4, you'll understand that you have been spending money you didn't need. Amen? See, and this is the thing that we have to understand because we've been running after the look like. We've been running after it seems like.
Oh,
look at who's doing. Look at how, well, that person over there was, well, listen, you don't understand that all of that stuff that they're doing is really trying to paint a picture of something that is not there. What was it, Shrek? With the short king or whatever,
uh-huh.
And they said something to him. He had the oversized carriage. He had the mm-hmm. extra big hat. He had the big castle. And they said, what are you overcompensating for? And some people right now are overcompensating because they lack spiritual growth, maturity, and a footprint in the kingdom. See, you trying to show everybody how big your rings are, your watches, everything else. You trying to wear top-notch this and drive the best that and other, but you don't have two words that you can put together that the spirit will amen. Huh? And there's somebody who got holes in their shoes curled up so much on the end that they can scratch their own kneecaps as they walk. But they got anointing on their life.
Right. Amen.
That's the truth.
And see, we've seen that. I talk about Mother Gloria Dean Coleman, who's going on to be with the Lord. We just lost another spiritual giant, Gladys Russell, will be going to Ohio for her funeral and ministering there this weekend. Amen. Y'all pray for us as we travel up there. Amen. But the thing is that Mother Coleman, I remember her station wagon, and it wasn't a new station wagon, amen. It was one of those station wagons that was probably 8 to 10 years old. It broke down on the side of the road, and she went in the back of that station wagon, got her toolbox out, and fixed that station wagon, and got back in the car, kept driving down the road, amen. Well, she went to convocation one year in Harlem, New York with us. And I remember she left out of Toledo, Ohio to go to Harlem, New York. She had enough money to fill the tank up with gas. She had it full of luggage and full of people because they was on their way to convocation and they was praising God and speaking in tongues the whole way. Do you know those tires on that car didn't have any tread? I mean, none. I mean, they look like racing slicks. Amen. Mm-hmm. Huh? And she drove that car on those tires to the Bronx, and she only filled up one time. Now, I'm telling you, she wasn't driving a smart car.
Uh-uh.
She wasn't driving an electric hybrid. She was driving an 8-cylinder gas-guzzling old station wagon full of people and luggage. Mm-hmm. That means it was weighed down, and she still made it there with one tank of gas. When we got there, we was there, and she come pulling up, and we said, hey, Mother Coleman, how you doing? She said, I'm doing okay. I got to get to the gas station. We've been praying all the way here. We was like, okay, how much gas did you put in? She said, we filled up before we left Toledo, and we ain't filled up since. And we said, how did you make it to? She said, I told you we've been praying and praising God all the way here. See, faith, favor, How will that demonstrate it? We don't see stuff like this because we go off of what we think we can afford instead of being in his pocket. Favor don't care what your bank account look like. Favor will open up a door and you'll come in with no money down, no money required, and you'll stay there as long as God deems necessary. Listen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There was a point in time when the children of Israel stopped getting quail and manna.
Yeah.
But there was a time when they were sustained, not by their efforts, but by the efforts of God to supply for them.
Yeah.
Amen? Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying in your spirit, because you're trying to figure out how this can be and how this can work. And it's not about how can this be and how can this work. God will supply. Amen? He has supplied. He will keep on supplying. Amen. Our job is to go forward and do what God has said. Now, you can't do that unless God's hand is good upon you. You can't do that unless God's hand is good upon you, unless the favor of God covers you. You see that? And also, 18th verse, and also of the king's words that he has spoken to me. So in other words, the favor of God calls people in position with resources to speak kindly to me and do what needs to be done, even though I was not in a position to do it. Nehemiah here was not a noble. He was a servant. He was the cup holder. That means that before the king took a sip, the cup holder had to take a sip first. And if anybody was going to die in this place, he was going to die first. That means that he wasn't one of those who was privileged. He was one of those who was cursed to die should something go wrong. Amen? And from that position beneath, God gave him favor above. Ooh, I wish I could run with that one. Some of you have been talking about, I wish I can get up. Don't try to get up. Wait until God elevates you. Your position beneath will position you or set you in a place where God can bless you above. Amen? The king gave him favor words, spoke to him kindly, gave him what he needed. We understand that he had provisions, he had soldiers, he had letters to get all of the resources he needed. Everything that he needed to be successful in what he was doing and what he had set his hands to do, the assignment that God gave him, the king gave him the resources to do it. Amen? So when he said to them, and continuing on, so they said, let us rise up and build. When they got to the place to rise up and build, they went forward to do so. But then they set their hands to this good work. The word right there, set their hands, lets us know that they strengthened themselves for the task. Prophetess and I went and looked at a building today, location, and as we were in, we were looking at everything, and I looked at the one place, and she looked at it, and then we went next door, and as we walked in, she began to walk around and look and walk behind one place and said, we can set this here, and we can put that there, and once we paint and do this, then that'll do this, and we'll have, and I said, thank you, Lord, because she walked into a place that was not put together and saw everything as it should be. I said, then this is the place, because the prophetess can see what the apostle can see. Amen. We know then, as I begin to speak to the landlord about the location and tell him what we needed to do and what we were thinking about, then he asked me, well, what do you want to do then? And I began to talk to him and give him time frames. And he said, oh, that's great. Okay, we can do that. At this point, I want to at least be at, and he gave me a number. It's a year from December. Amen? Mm-hmm. That means that up until that point in time, we can do what we need to do to build up to get to that. But you can't do that if you don't have grace and favor over your life. Amen? The people who come in will have to come in understanding that there's a work to do. And nobody comes in and sits down. Everybody comes in and strengthens their hand to the work. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
You see that? Look at it in the Message Bible. Let's read it from the 17th verse.
All right.
Amen? Then I gave them my report. Face it, we're in a bad way here. Jerusalem is wrecked. Its gates are burned up. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem and not live in this disgrace any longer.
Uh-huh.
And I wish I could talk to somebody right now, because you have settled for where you are based on what you feel your resources are to get out of there. And I'm trying to tell you something here. If you will simply trust in God, if you will simply pray and give him your heart, if you will focus on the assignment that he's giving you instead of trying to run away and hide in the corner, then you'll find out that the resources aren't in your pocket. They're in the pocket of the king. Amen. But God has given you favor to speak to the king, and those resources will be released. You can come out of your place if you simply follow the plan that God has. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? But you've been in disgrace. People talking about you. You think you all this? You think you all that? I thought you were supposed to be the great. I thought you were supposed to have a ministry like this. Guess what? After all is said and done, God has a way of growing a harvest out of his seed. But you got to be willing to die as a seed. The Bible says, except a grain of corn goes into the ground and dies.
Yes,
huh? It abides alone. Some of you are abiding in disgrace alone because your flesh will keep refusing to die. The harvest can't come because you refuse in your flesh to die to the will of God. Amen, somebody. He says here, he says, let us build the wall of Jerusalem and not live in this disgrace any longer. I told them how God was supporting me. Woo! All of my help comes from him. Lord, you are the source of my strength. Amen. I would look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. You have to understand that as long as you are dealing with what God said, then God will make a way. God will provide, because before God lets you fail in the assignment he gave you and be a liar, God will cause heaven and earth to validate that word. Hello, somebody. Huh? Then I told them how God was supporting me and how the king was backing me up. They said, we're with you. Let's get started. They rolled up their sleeves, ready for the good work. Well, Pastor, I don't see how it's going to come together. I'm just saying, can we find something a little smaller or just that don't cost this much, and maybe, wait a minute, stop. Any commercial business starts about 15 and going up.
Mm-hmm.
If God gives you grace or gives you favor to get in under 1,000, don't you blink your eye.
I know that's right.
And don't you poke your lips out. Your cheeks shouldn't be full of air. Your arms shouldn't be uncrossed. You should have your sleeves rolled up and ready to move, because if it hadn't been for the grace and the favor of God, it would have been up at that $1,500 to $2,500. I'm not talking about for big spaces.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you deal with commercial,
yep.
Amen. Commercial means big money for whoever owns commercial property, and they're there for capitalization of that. That asset. They're not trying to give you nothing. Huh? It's not a renter's market. Huh? So when you look at this, God knows how to get his glory out of it. But he knows how to support and how to take care. Amen? The thing that really I look at here is they said, we're with you. Let's get started. Amen? I hate to say it, but I've been there, heard that before.
Uh-huh.
Until you get to the place where they rolled up their sleeves.
Right.
It was okay for you to go out and do everything. It was okay for you to paint it and for you to get the air together and change all the light bulbs and clean the bathrooms and clean out the van and go pick up people and come
uh-huh.
in. But don't ask me to straighten up the chairs. After.
Mm-hmm.
See, whatever God gives us, we become stewards over what God has given us. God never gives you something that you cannot be a good steward over. Let me say that again. God never gives you something that you cannot maintain.
Mm-hmm.
The blessings of the Lord, they make us rich, and he has no sorrow with it.
Mm-hmm.
That means that when God gives you something, it enriches you. It profits you. it adds to you, and it doesn't add sorrow, hardships, can't hardly do to it. You understand? What God does, he sets you for blessings and then allows you to benefit off of it. How can you miss that when your focus is not on him, but it's on building you? No matter how big you go, you're going to have a problem because it doesn't satisfy the ego. Huh? But when you're doing what God says, amen, wherever God starts you at, you're good. Amen. Let me tell you that God has a word that really hits us right here. And as I was looking at this and dealing with it, he began to share with me some things. Amen. And as I began to look at it, I said, Lord, wow. Yeah. Okay. So what are you saying to us? He said, let me help you out. Amen. He said, let me help you out here. Let's go over to Zechariah. Eighth verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, ninth verse, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand shall also finish it. God doesn't give you an assignment that you can't complete. You see this? Why am I preaching this? Why am I preaching it so hard? Why am I so focused on this? It's not just for what's going on in our lives. It's because God is trying to get somebody to understand that he has spoken to you and he will maintain you through the process. Yeah. If you stick with the assignment, you'll never have to worry about drowning. You'll never have to worry about succumbing to it. You'll never have to worry about it overcoming you. You'll overcome it. Amen? I don't understand how God can tell us to do things and lay it out before us, and we're still afraid to get off the boat. Huh? At least Peter got off the ship to walk on the water. Where were the other 11? See, you got to understand, at this point in time, God has given us work to do that will be completed by our hands. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, his hands, not his predecessor or not his successor, shall also finish it. Then you will know the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. In other words, the way that we know that God sent you is you can complete the assignment he sent you to do. Tenth verse, for who hath despised the day of small things? See, We've been sitting there and well, you know, I was okay. I was okay until we started talking about how much it would cost. And then, you know, I think everybody trying, you know, they want me to pay for all of this, and I don't know if I want to pay for everything. You know, I want some stuff for myself. Listen, when you prioritize God, God will prioritize you. I just told you about favor. This right here is something that we need to get in our spirit. Bigger is not always better. There are some things that you can do in dynamics smaller that you will have problems doing bigger. Sports cars are not built for their mass. They're built lighter with bigger engines so that they can go faster. Because in this case, smaller, amen, it's a better thing. Wider stance, smaller profile, faster speed, less exertion on the engine. See, there are certain things that we don't want big. Amen? And sometimes you have to understand that the problem with the big isn't that it's big, but what it's composed of. Because cancer is a growth within the body that's abnormal, amen? And it grows so big that it pushes the organs and things out the way to the point where they can't function. You understand? So cancer is a growth that is not a good thing. You see that? We have to understand that while we're looking at things, we can't despise the size. Amen? For who has despised the day of small things? Look at what it goes on to say. For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. What seven things? They are the eyes of the Lord,
yes,
which scan to and fro throughout the earth. You see that? So God is looking for you to succeed. I want that to settle in on you, because you think that other people around you, you need to please them and get them to see you, and it don't matter. These seven rejoice to see this. What? They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the earth. What God is looking for is those who will stand up and do the assignment. Do what I'm calling you to do. Bring glory to the Father. Bring glory to the name of Jesus. Use his name. Use the delegated authority to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen? When you do that, God sees it and God gives you more favor. He begins to bless you more. Amen? Huh? So when we look at this, we see that God's eyes are on us to succeed. It is him who gives us favor. It is the grace of God that covers us. You need his approval. Amen? Huh? Let's go back over here to Nehemiah 2 in the Message Bible. Huh? 19th verse. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard it, they laughed at us, mocking. Ha! Huh? What do you think you're doing? Do you think you can cross the king? You know? There are people right now who can hear of you trying to be successful who will stand in the way, because your success means that they can't ride off of your anointing no more.
Talk to
them. Huh? Lord, help us today. Your biggest supporter will be your biggest enemy when you become successful. See, people are happy for you as you do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But don't start doing nothing. Don't start making no real waves. You know, you trying to do too much. You know, I still remember Dothan and them in talking to Moses.
You take too much upon yourself.
Aren't we Abraham's seed too? Okay, well, listen, God called me, and I'm walking this thing out, huh? I never challenged who you were, and I know you, Abraham's seed. I was sent to get you out of Egypt. If you were all that, how come you didn't lead the procession out? Because you didn't have the favor of God. You didn't have the assignment from God. You don't have the grace of God covering you. See, and as long as you have those type of people around you, you have to be very careful to get those type of people out of your ear. Get them out of your sphere of influence. Remember, if God is speaking to you, God has a plan for you. That plan is going to sustain you. The resources for it is going to come from him. And he's going to cause you to ignite a fire among some kindling. See, let me really talk to that right there, that point right there. There's some dead, dry stuff that's been around just laying there, rotting up and smelling up the whole forest floor. And when God begins to strike a fire in you, you begin to light dead stuff around you. And whatever is not joined in is consumed by the fire. Amen? The Bible says he makes his ministers a flame of fire. What happens when a match hits dryness? One of them is given. Amen? And I can tell you right now, it is that dried up stuff that will be burned up. Amen? So people have built whole monuments to themselves out of leaves and twigs and don't want to see none of your fire come that way, because you're going to burn up some things that they've been trying to make into a big monument. You know, instead it's going to become a big bonfire. Amen? Now, do we go to tear up stuff? No, no. We go to do the will of God. But you have to understand, in this time and this season, and I speak as an apostle of the Most High God right now, God is shifting some things in the atmosphere. You think that this preacher of L.A. and all this stuff coming out is brand new? No, we've had preachers and scandals in the news and in the media for years, for decades. Amen. They've been there. Amen. You can go back to those who were doing tent revivals, faking miracles and signs and wonders, trying to get money from people. Amen. There's still people out there using those same gimmicks, trying to say that they're men and women of God. They learned the lingo, they learned a couple of scriptures, but they're still using snakeskin oil to try to make a profit off of people who won't get in the word and learn that these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs follow you as a believer. Amen. And that person coming can't do anything but confirm what God has already done in your life. But when you don't know that because you're not taught, then you think that you need to find a preacher to get a miracle. Huh? Don't you know that he gave you the ability to cast out demons? First things, these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall cast out demons.
Yes, that's the scripture.
You see that? It didn't say, he told them the verse prior to that. He said, him who believes, they that believe will be saved, they that don't believe will be damned. So this goes to the believers. He tells the apostles, amen, in the 15th verse, Mark 16:15, he tells them to go into all the world and preach. But in the 16th verse, he tells them about the believers. And in the 17th verse, he validates what will happen with the believers when they start walking and demonstrating the power of the name of Jesus. In my name, they will cast out devils. So when we start looking at the believers, you as a saint, as a child of God, you're a believer, and you should be able to cast out devils. We ain't running from no demons. Amen? The devil has had us running. You know, he booed and screamed and hollered. The Bible says that he goes to and fro as the roaring lion seeking who he may devour. The problem is he's been defanged. He's been declawed. He's still got a roar, but he don't have nothing to bite you with. He can't scratch your eyes out. You understand? See, so he's still making the same noise he's always made, and you still running like you used to run because you were afraid of him. But now as a child of God, you have authority over him. The Bible says submit yourself to God, and that means that submit means that you come down to his will, or you come up to his will. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because coming down, it goes to your will. Amen. But we rise up to his will, the occasion to fulfill his assignment. Amen. And when you submit yourself to God, then you can resist the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that? And he will flee from you. But you can't resist him if you're playing with him. If the spirit of fear is inside of you, when you tell him to back up, he's going to go rawr, and you're going to jump, and he's going to say, you know what? You ain't scared of me, and I ain't scared of you no more. No more. No more. You have to sometimes remind him of who you are. Huh? But sometimes you, before you can remind him of who you are, you have to realize who you are. And I'm a child of God. God has given me everything I need. It's his assignment I'm walking out. It's his favor that covers me and that precedes me. It's the grace of God that covers me in my life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Huh? I know that I'm going to make it because he has designed it and deemed it to be so. I cannot fail because God's word is what validates my walk. Huh? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He ordered this. He set this in place. I can't fail because I'm doing what God said do. Huh? So when you have your Sanballats and your Tobias and your Gesums who are out there and laughing at you, mocking, talking about what you think you're doing, you can say, I'm doing what God called me to do. And when they look at it and say, but y'all ain't nothing but a speck, keep on moving and tell them this speck was a seed that's about to die. But watch the harvest that come from this one. Amen? Huh? Look what he says here in the Message Bible, 21st, Nehemiah 2:20. I shot back. The God of heaven will make sure we succeed. Oh, man. That right there. Oh, that's platinum right there. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
The God of heaven will make sure, guarantee, we shall succeed. Huh? I'm not going to fail here because this wasn't my doing to start with. Not my assignment. Not my plan. Not my will. huh? His assignment, his plan, his will, his validation of success. So if we're not walking this out, then what do we have? Which way can we go? What can we do if we're not focused on him?
Yeah.
Huh? We can't do what we need to do unless we're really setting ourselves forward in our assignment. Amen? The God of heaven will make sure we succeed. We're his servant. Oh. We're his servant. You see that? And we're going to work.
Oh,
we don't. See, that resolution right there says that I don't care how you make it look, how bad you try to set it up, how you make it, you try to make it look like we're not going to be able to go forward and do anything. We're going to succeed. Huh? Why? Because we're his servant. That means that he had already secured everything before he sent us to do the job. Think about it. A master doesn't send you out to a field that doesn't have anything in it. He sends you out to sow the field, to plant in the field. And then he sends you out to work in the field to reap in the harvest. You see that? But he gives you seed to go out there. You're not just going out there digging troughs. You see that? When he sends you out there, he gives you what you need to sow in the ground. Lord, I wish we could get this. Because to him who gives us, who gives seed to the sower, you see that? All this stuff God has already provided for us. He's making sure we succeed because we stay submitted to him, submissive to the will of God. Oh, yes. And then this last part right here, and we're going to work. That means that we don't care what you just said. My focus is on my assignment. Rebuilding.
Rebuilding.
Mm. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Mm. See, in your life, there's some things that haven't gone the way you wanted them to go. The enemy has talked about you and talked about your shortcomings and your failures. And even though God has spoken to you, the enemy still talks about the fact that you missed it or you messed it up. You didn't quite do what you need to do. You didn't quite get in there like you needed to and focus on what needs to be done. And things didn't go the way that you wanted them to go. Ultimately, you considered it a failure, but God looked at it as a restart. He looked at it as a moment to prove and to show that he's a God of redemption, because he redeemed us from sin, amen, and brought us into the kingdom. Don't you know that he can redeem you from a mistake? Don't you know he can redeem you from a failure? Huh? That word, they didn't say we're going to go to work building. They said, we're going to go to work rebuilding. That means what was set up, what was established, we're going to go back in and do what needs to be done in order to reestablish the foundation, reestablish the wall, reestablish the principles of this thing. It shall stand again. And I want you to know you shall live again.
Yes, sir.
You shall make it again. The enemy wants you to believe that this is it. You'll never get another chance. You're too old. It's going to go to somebody else. You're watching other people do what you dreamt of and what you heard God tell you to do, but you were slow in moving. You had doubt in your heart. You didn't believe that God would sustain you, so you didn't go forward to do the assignment. You watch other people have success, and now you hear the word, try it again. And as you're thinking about trying it again, the enemy's coming in your ear laughing and mocking you, talking about, what do you think you're doing? Do you think you can cross and go over and do it this time? You ain't going to do nothing. But guess what? You have to have a so what in your spirit. You have to look at the devil and say, so what, I missed it. So what, I messed up. So what, I didn't follow the assignment completely the first time. I've learned from my mistake. and I bet I won't stop this time. I bet I won't turn around this time. I bet you can't get me to back up now. See, you have to have that so what in you that says no matter what the enemy's trying to say and what he's trying to do, you're going to stand and do the will of God. That is so important. Once you get that in your spirit, then the enemy, the enemy of your soul learns that sticks and stones won't cause you to forfeit your assignment. You won't abort the assignment and miss out on your blessing that comes as your reward for your obedience. You will do what God says to do. Look what he goes on and says. You keep your nose out of it. You get no say in this. Wait a minute, let me say that again. You get no say in this. When it comes down to my destiny, you get no say in this. When it comes down to my future, you get no say in this. When it comes down to my success, you get no say in this. When it comes down to me going forward to my destiny that God has ordained for me, you get no say in this. When it comes down to me being obedient to God regardless of the cost that it comes to me, you get no say in this. Because I understand that if I dedicate myself to God, God will make sure I succeed. Brothers and sisters, you can't fail here obeying God. And we got to get back to the place where we know that we can't fail obeying God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for this word. I thank you for this opportunity to minister to your people. Satan, the Lord God rebuke you. You're a liar. See, you've been trying to get people to see you as this big wonder that can stop the move of God. But we recognize you for who you are. You are a defeated foe. And even though you have lost, you're still making a lot of noise, much like a political party I won't mention in this prayer right now. We pray for them, Lord, because some of them are in position and we need to be praying for them. Amen. So we pray for them. We pray for them, Lord, that they will do your will and let the other stuff go. Amen. But Lord, I pray right now for those who are hurting, those who have walked away from assignments and felt that there was no use. I pray, Lord, for that second wind. I pray for that second wind anointing. This time you will succeed. This time you will go forward. You will succeed. You will make the enemy out of a liar. The enemy said you couldn't make it and it would never happen, and you're going to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. It shall happen as God said. We know it and we believe it, and we thank you, Lord, for it now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, if there's anyone who's not saved, we pray for them now. I pray that they pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, where they may be matured and go on to do the work that you've given them to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. Where miracles, signs, and wonders are needed, I pray, I feel it right now. I pray for miracles, signs, and wonders. I pray and uphold my Father now. I pray for him now in his body. Cancer, you got to go into remission. You don't have ability to stay there. We come against you in the name of Jesus. Even, Lord, we pray for those who are in bereavement, the families, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, who need resources and those other things in their life. Lord, I pray for them now that you would give them what they need. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. I need to hear from you. Miracle signs and wonders manifest. Thank you for those of you who communicate with us, and let us know what God is doing in your life. We will stand with you in prayer, knowing that God will get the glory out of all of this, this isn't for us, and we're not trying to get big, bad, or wonderful about it. We just know God gave us an assignment, and we need to hear from you so we can celebrate Jesus with you. Amen. Pray for us as we go forward. There's some things that we have to do. We'll be traveling this week, and we want you to keep us in your prayer. That God will give us traveling mercies. Amen. And pray for the expansion of this ministry. Listen, I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and we want you to remember that it is God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.